Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. Today, I'm joined with Samit Patel, who is a crowdfunding expert. He is recommended by Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and he has raised over $43 million for his clients.
Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host.
The Live Your Edge podcast is where I interview 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs, influencers, and successful business owners who in their own right were able to create a life on their own terms. We talk a lot about stepping out of your comfort zone, but what does it really mean to be in discomfort and how you can expand your so-called comfort zone by being able to constantly test and challenge yourself. Welcome to the show, Samit.
Hey, it's great being here. Thank you for having me on. Respect what you do. And excited to be kicking it up and breaking things down for the audience today.
So how did you get started into the crowdfunding space? Like what was that drove you to pursue this space?
It really happened by accident, in all honesty. You know, I gave up entrepreneurship. I gave up business in 2015 after multiple failed businesses and a chance event. My brother ended up getting into an accident abroad. It was really a critical situation for him. He managed to come through the other end, but that was really a pivot point in my life and my career. And before then, I was 28 years old. I had no money. And as an Asian, Indian boy, you know, where your parents are like, hey, you should be a lawyer, you should be a doctor, you should be blah, blah, blah. I was literally a guy that was a failure in the eyes. I had zero money when I was 28. I had to beg my parents for a flight to go out and see my brother. And that was really the lowest for me. So at that moment, I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to give up entrepreneurship. I'm going to go get a 9-to-5 job like a normal person. I ended up, after my brother recovered, you know, I was always interested in startups. So I sent off my CV to one company that was really interested in, and I just kept following them up. And I was really interested. And the product was a modular smartwatch. It's similar to what Google tried to do with the mobile phone. Rather than buying a new mobile phone every year, you would just buy the different components and slot it in like Lego. Mm. So what this company was trying to do was for the smartwatch industry, because now you're having to buy a smartwatch regularly. So that's what they were trying to do. I helped put together the campaign launch, how the product was going to launch to market. We did a lot of growth hacking very early on. So for those of you that don't know what growth hacking is, you know, it's a lot of different techniques using automation to escalate the amount of website users, traffic, sales, or leads that you're generating. So what we did, I'll give a couple of examples for the audience so they can understand, is we would get articles written up about the product, and then we would gamify Reddit. So it was trending on Reddit, for example. Another one that we did, which was finding competitor YouTube channels. So, you know, at this time, Pebble was really big with their watch. Samsung was really big. So we would almost hijack the comment section and have VAs creating conversations. So VAs are virtual assistants, and we would create these conversations of people saying, hey, have you heard of this smartwatch Blocks? And then someone be like, no, what is that about? And then like, it's a full blown conversation, and we'd end up taking over the pages of these videos who have millions of views. And that's how we organically generated so much traffic and awareness. When we finally launched the campaign raised $250,000 in 56 minutes. It raised over 1.6 million by the end of the campaign. So that was like the first campaign I did.
Wow. So it seems like you have a lot of experience in just figuring out ways to help them get an audience, help them get traction. And one of the things you mentioned about the YouTube is it called the audience authority hijacking? Is that the name for that?
We didn't really have a cool name for it. It was just something that we did, yeah. Right? I know a lot of people like putting names and stuff, but a lot of the times, you know, this was very early on. So this was in 2015. Growth hacking wasn't even really a big thing. Like, it was on the fringes. There wasn't many people doing it. And for us, we were just looking to gamify things and create a system where we could stretch out the dollar amount, right? So we didn't have a huge amount of budget to market ourselves, but we were thinking, okay, what can we do and how can we optimize? So every channel we sort of did, we would track and see what was happening. After we did the YouTube thing, we saw huge rise in organic searches for the company because, you know, a lot of people end up putting links, which is not how it works. You know, you want to make it seem like organic conversation. You could do the same thing right now, right? You can do the same thing on Instagram accounts. And, you know, that's how I've been building up my Instagram account. I do the same thing. I comment on people that I view as more influential than me and then have comments creating conversations.
Tell us more about, like, so you were able to apply in YouTube, in Instagram, and I imagine a lot of your clients, they don't necessarily have like a huge budget to begin with, correct?
Yeah, it depends on the clients. Like as we've been in the industry for since 2015 and have gone on to raise nearly 43 million, you know, our ask has sort of changed because we're interested in how much money the project raises. And if the project raises a good amount, we get a percentage bonus of how much that project raises. So for us, you know, it's not really relevant if campaign comes to us and like bootstrapping. We can do that, but you're better off going through our course that we have. We have a specific training course that just gives everything to them and then they can do it themselves. There is a mindset thing here. Like once you see an idea that's working, you do need to go all in. Otherwise you're wasting your time. And I think you're doing a disservice to the idea that you've created. Don't get me wrong. I was that guy that was bootstrapping, you know, all those businesses that I failed at the very beginning were all bootstrapped. My mindset was constricted because I was thinking of bootstrapping all the way. So when an idea did start kicking off, I didn't have the guts to go and get a loan or have the guts to go and find funding or go and ask friends and family. You know, it was like when you're not making money, you're almost in a shell where you can't really get out and your mind is constrained within that thinking. You only change that once you start making money. Like now that I've made money, the agency is successful, my mindset has changed. My mindset is about, okay, how can we grow as quickly as possible? Not about how can we do this step by step, you know, invest 100, make 200 back, then put it back. And like, I did that forever, man. And it's just so slow and it doesn't make sense. So now the clients that want to work with us, you know, they need at least $20,000 to generate a campaign. I'd like to go into the metrics of the spend related to how much you can generate if you allow me. So, you know, so typically we ask a client for around $20,000. This would generate you $60,000 to $100,000 on day one of the campaign. Once you generate $100,000, then you spend another $20,000. This $20,000 would help you generate maybe a quarter of a million. You spend another $20,000, this will get you $600,000. It's exponential growth, right? Because the more advertising you do, the more people see your product, the more you've got remarketing audiences, the more people, you know, because you're not going to get a sale the first time you hit someone up with an ad, for example. It's all about hitting them up again and again and building up your audiences. So on direct ads, we're probably getting around, you know, a 3x ROI. But on the remarketing ads, that's where you're getting the 10x ROI. So as the audiences grow and grow, your pool of people become much better. And it's almost like a domino effect, you're right? And that's what I teach. I teach creating that domino effect. And that's the power in being successful.
So you kind of touched upon like what makes the first 20,000 different from the second 20,000, which is the first one is just code ads. And the second one is more of retargeting. And that's where the distinction is. So how does it go from that, the retargeting, to like you said, 500,000 to get that like 20, 30, 50X?
Yeah. So you're constantly, you know, you're doing this in tandem. So you can't just say, hey, we're going to stop attracting new audiences and we're just going to be running the remarketing. The remarketing is something that's going on in tandem while you're building up these audiences. So that 20,000, initial 20,000 is broken down into three segments, right? We need 3 months to launch a campaign. The first month we allocate 3,000 budget. This 3,000 budget is allocated to just validating that idea according to the KPI. So we want to see whether this product is going to be successful on crowdfunding or in general. You know, clients come to us and say, hey, we want to raise a million. Not every product is going to be able to do that. It's dependent on the ROI that's going to be able to generate and the story you're telling and the product and how much value the product and the people perceive it. Once it's past the validation stage, then we would spend 8,000 second month, 8,000 third month. And that's how we generate. That's how we got the 20,000 spent. And then once the campaign launches, like you would see on the first day, okay, how much have we generated? Have we generated 60,000, 100,000? And then again, it's dependent on how the clients want to do it. But that's when we're really pushing the pedal to the metal, because a crowdfunding campaign literally is 30 days on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. You're trying to spend as much money, maintain your ROI within that time frame, and scale within a very short amount of time, right?
So since you're breaking into, if it's a 30 day period and you need to break down the first third of the spending, this 20,000, into three parts, and the first part is validating, how much time do you actually spend validating it?
The validation part is really critical, because you know we're doing research into the product, like we're learning about this product. Like a lot of the products, I've never been a master of it, right? Like someone created a skiing product. I've never skied in my life, right? It's really breaking down and putting my mind in the mindset of the consumer. The person that created this AI skiing product was a developer. They were a great engineer. They were a skier. It was that passion project. That project could have raised a very little amount, but I went in there and said, no, look, you know, you're thinking of this too narrow. They wanted to sell this initially to coaches. So I was like, no, this doesn't work, because remember, you know, the horse carriage riders, when the car came along, they would say, no, this doesn't work. You know, the horse and carriage is here to stay, blah, blah, blah. But it got replaced by the car. It's the same thing with the coaches, right? So the ski coaches that are out on the slope, they all were very negative around this idea, because the product was an AI ski coach. So you put these headphones on and it would tell you whether, you know, you're skiing too much to the right, it'd tell your form how to improve. And skiing coaches who've been around for years were like, no, this is absurd. You can never get rid of the ski coach, right? So it's really a mashup of using my knowledge combined with the creator's knowledge. And that's what I've seen be the biggest successes, you know, combining my thoughts, my learnings, my understandings with the creator's thoughts, their learnings, because they are the expert in the product. And what they're the expert in, I can never get to that level, even if I read up on the things. In the first couple of weeks, we're learning about this product. We're creating the sales funnel, you know, exactly how we would want to sell it. We would then build in these funnels. So our funnel is a three-step process. You have the main landing page, which is where you're driving the initial traffic to. It would have a headline, subheadline, nice picture, a couple of points about why this product is awesome, you know, really, really well, good looking page. And then the call to action would be like, sign up now if you want to get this product and lock in your special early bird price. The second part of that is they would be taken to a thank you page. And here we have two different things. One, we have a reservation funnel. So they're able to pay a $7 deposit. And this is how we're able to tell, okay, you know, if we spend $3,000, how many deposits are we getting in that first month? If we're getting a good amount, then we know, because there's one thing, someone signing up for something, but there's another thing where someone puts down that money, right? And the second part of that is if they don't want to pay the reservation fee, then they go into a Facebook group, and here we educate them, we become friends with them. And it's, this system is broken down in something I like to call TLFES system, and it's really about building fans. And what we've done is really have the creator get on a video and create a relationship with the audience. Because if you think about brands now, they're not creating relationships, they're just a brand. Like if you think why Apple did so well, you know, they created a culture, they created a community. And this is what we're doing with all the new products that we're helping launch.
And when it comes to, so you said it took you the first few weeks to validate, pretty much do research, validate a product. And you would run that $3,000 for the whole month?
Yeah, so it's run in stages. So, you know, we would run about $100, $100, $100, and then we'd add more, depending on the results. So we, you know, would be testing the different audiences we have. We've already built up an audience list of nearly 1 million people that buy crowdfunding products. So that's like our go-to audience. So anytime we have a new product, we test it with that audience and we see what's happening.
So that's before you launch the official 30-day campaign, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's like an unofficial campaign that you run with the funnel.
Yeah, yeah. So we do a lot of validation for companies as well. So, you know, companies would come to us with an idea and say, hey, we want to launch this product. You know, do you think it has legs? And we do a 30-day validation period where we would test the idea out. If that idea is valid, then they would go back to getting that idea made, putting some more effort into it. I'm a big believer in lean thinking, right? So last quarter, we tried to, you know, I had this crazy idea, which it wasn't so crazy. I was looking at the market of masks, right? And if you look at the amount of pollution that's increased because people are wearing these masks once and throwing it away is huge. And also when you wear your mask, you're wearing it to go into a shop, you're wearing it to go into a restaurant. But then when you go out of that shop, you're putting stuffing in your pocket or you're stuffing it somewhere, right? Which isn't hygienic anyway. So the idea was simple. The idea was creating a UV sanitizing carry case, which looks good. It looks very similar to a headphone case. You plonk your mask in there. It's got slots for your cards and your wallets and things like that. And my thinking was, okay, you know, this is what the world needs right now. Rather than spending 20,000-30,000 developing that product, I got a headphone case that I already had in my house. I then bought some LED lights. I just stuck the LED lights in, turned it on, took some really nice photos, something that would look like the end product, created a landing page and tested that whole hypothesis out, which is, you know, and that cost me $50, if that, to just do that test. And this is what I've seen continuously. A lot of people, when they're thinking about product ideas, they overcomplicate it. You know, the amount of people that said, hey, I want to create this, you know, new hair gel or something. I'm like, all right, cool. All the hair gels, they all look the same. The tub looks exactly the same. Just whack on a label. Yeah. And to start advertising and see what you're doing. I always say, think marketing first rather than product first. And this is what people get into a habit of doing. They get overcomplicated into the product. And this applies for everything, services. You know, you don't necessarily need to put your day job. You can set up a website offering your consulting. Once you start getting people coming in and close deals, that's when you can go, all right, I no longer need my day job. So it's this lean thinking that I've picked up using because of all those failed businesses before and learning through what's happening here. I'm trying to make it simpler for people. Every time a product doesn't succeed, I'm looking at it and going, why didn't this succeed? And keep iterating. You know, marketing moves at such a fast pace, it's ever changing. So you constantly need to be revising strategies.
So what it sounds like is that you're conducting all of these small experiments using minimum amount of resources, but a lot of creativity. And by doing so, you're able to figure out what works without spending a lot of money and then scaling what works. And then delivering the results for your clients at the end. So when it comes to, you mentioned that the marketing is focused more on the marketing than the product itself. And the product could just be, you know, something in a box and you don't know what it is, but as long as the marketing works, then you get those pre-orders and that pre-order would signify that they're interested. So are there times where you test products and then at what point do you determine whether you should move to the next stage or discard it completely? Because there's some products that maybe you tested and no matter what you do, it's not working. So how do you like approach that, you know, if that happens?
Yeah, so it depends on whether the creators are really passionate and want to go ahead with it. Sometimes they have a B2B side to it and they're using the consumer launch as just a way in. But for example, the UVC carry case, you know, we tested it out. We saw the results weren't there. The result, people were signing up, people were paying that deposit, but it wasn't at the level where people throw money at iPhone, right? For example, if you compare iPhone and any other product on the market, there's a different level of want to it. And this is the difference between raising over 100,000 to just raising a couple of thousand. So that's what we based it on. And, you know, I'm not in this game to just make a couple of thousand. I'm in this game to make over 100,000 plus. If you make anything over 100,000 plus, that is going to be a good project. Because you get a lot of retailers, you get a lot of distributors, a lot of other people that are going to end up buying this product as well.
So you kind of mentioned a little bit on the process you go through, but kind of walk us through like how you determine whether a project is worth taking on as opposed to One, of course, is the how your anticipated money raised, and of course, their willingness to spend that 60 grand over the three stages, or was it 20 grand?
$20,000 initially. That split into 3 months. Yeah,
got it. And then there's the retargeting where you put the 20 in after that, right? So what other factors do you account for when you determine what projects to work with?
Yeah, so we only take on 7 projects every quarter. I've got a lot of other things that I do. I do a lot of speaking around the world and, you know, virtually now, and also have a lot of different business interests. I take on 7 projects every quarter. And these projects are the ones that I work on very closely. I'm looking for projects that, you know, are very unique, something that is different to the market, something that's, something that's challenging the current thought process. So with this skiing product, for example, before we did that, the highest the skiing product raised was about 20,000. So, and especially because it was a challenging product, no one's ever tried to combine tech and go after a certain demographic. So that, to me, was a huge challenge. A recent project we did was an arcade machine. And what they were trying to do was mash up the worlds of new and old. And we helped put together that campaign. And that was, again, really unique because I got to really think, how can we launch this market? How can we create a buzz around it without actually, you know, within the confinements of what it was? And what we ended up doing was using the power of Facebook groups. I got the creator to jump on a weekly live to this audience, and every week, so we would funnel the traffic into this group, and every week he would jump on and play games on his arcade machine. And this created a rapport with the audience that was looking at him and seeing what he was doing. And because he was such a nice guy, he was like, oh, wow, you know, that's why they ended up buying the product. They ended up buying the product because of him. And that's what I like to see. I like to see passionate creators that have created something that's different. I also, you know, if I'm interested in a product or something looks interesting to me, that's how I pick it. And also the creator's mindset has to be there. You know, it's got to be a all or nothing mindset. Or, you know, a lot of the times I've had people and their mindset is not just there. They don't believe in the idea themselves. So they're like half in, half out. You can't be like that. If after the validation testing that I run, and then I'm like, okay, cool, this is good. We need to go all in this. If the creator is like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do, then no, that's not going
to
work.
So having people that are like committed to going and seeing it through, whether it works or not, is super important. So in closing, for those that want to raise funding for a product or a project, one of the steps could be finding experts like yourself to help them grow it. But what would be that kind of process be like for them? You know, if they say they have an idea, do they at least try to prototype it before they reach out to someone or try to do it themselves? Or what would that look like?
Yeah, so it really depends on what they're trying to do. I think if you've got an idea, create a basic version of it at the very least. You know, like I said, you can try and mash up products that already exist. And then if you're not good with the marketing, reach out to me and reach out to my team and see what they can do. And then we can help them validate it. Otherwise, you know, I've got a lot of content on my website and a lot of training programs and things like that can help them through this. You know, on my YouTube, I have tons of content where I'm just helping people break it down. And for me, you know, I want people to be successful. My thinking is very much of, you know, if I help create wealth for creators, they're going to help employ other people. And it's that, which is what I love. You know, they say you can give a person a fish or you can teach them to fish. And that's my belief, you know, and that's how we work with creators. My belief is that I'm impacting them positively and they're creating a difference in the world. They're creating products. They're creating success for themselves. They're creating wealth for others. And that's the domino effect that I'm all about.
Awesome. So for those that want to reach out to you, we'll leave the links to the show notes. The links in the show notes. And for those that want to contact you directly, what's the best platform to get to you? Is it on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn?
Yeah, so yeah, you can check out my website, sametpatel.net. It will be in the show notes. You can also DM me on Instagram. You know, I post daily a lot of amazing content on how you can validate things, how you can grow your business. And I've got a whole bunch of links there as well. But yeah, if anyone needs help, you know, I'm happy to help out and point you in the right way. Just make sure you're prepared. That's the only thing, you know, I don't like if someone goes, how do I launch a product? That's very vague. I want them to at least look at the content, the free content that's already there, and go, look, I've done my research. I've gone through everything you've created. Here's what it is, right? The last thing you want is a very vague question that people are going to ask you.
Well, it was great to have you on the show, Sumit. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. So thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure, pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.